Okay, what I'd like to discuss tonight is a relatively recent psak din that came out of the Beit Din Rabbani in Ashkelon, which actually had a lot of similarity to something that we were trying to figure out on the Beis Din here a number of months ago. And the connection to Parshas Vayetze is as follows, and we'll get into the thrust of the topic. The Medrash comments, Medrash Rabbah Vayetze, Parsha Ayin Gimel Os Yud. Let's get the share screen up. So the
you're sharing your whole screen.
No, I'm opening the right tab. One second, it's not letting me open it. There we go. Okay. So the Medrash comments on Yaakov Avinu's scheme to produce the kind of sheep that he would be entitled to. So Medrash describes that he would take these various types of wood sticks and have the female animals gaze at them, and then they would become pregnant with the type of the corresponding type of colored and speckled and spotted sheep. So the Medrash has the following story. There's a parallel Medrash in Parshas Naso with slightly different details, and there's a variation on the same theme, basically the same story. So there was a dark-skinned man who was married to a dark-skinned woman. And they had a white child. So the father grabbed his white son and ran to Rebbe. In the other version, it's a Arab king who ran to Rebbe Akiva. Amrele, Shema Eino B'di. Something suspicious here. Amrele, Ayelucha Maros B'Sach Beischa. Did you have pictures on the walls of your house? Amrele, hey. Amrele, Shkara Levada. Did you have black pictures or white pictures? Amrele, Levada. We had white pictures. Amrele, Mikancha Ayelucha Ben Lava. And that's how you ended up with a white kid. In Chazal, the notion that there are certain machshavas that a person can have at the time of conception that could influence both the character, Marzi and the Nadarim, and the appearance of a child. So the measures here seems to indicate that the lack of a corresponding appearance of a child doesn't to the parents doesn't necessarily mean that the child is not the child of the parents. Okay, what does this have to do with anything? So the case that we were asked in the Beis Din a number of months ago that we haven't resolved yet was as follows. There was a woman of Russian background who came to the United States as a young child in the 1990s, not observant, traditional. So the woman grew up, got married in a wedding officiated at by an Orthodox rabbi, and decided for fun to get a 23andMe package. So she, 23andMe is this pop DNA thing that gives you genetic information by taking certain DNA samples. So she did 23andMe, and she discovered that she had like no genetic correspondence to her parents. And she thought that was a little bit strange, and she did a little bit of research, and she spoke to some long-lost relatives in Israel, one of whom told her, yeah, you always wondered why you didn't look like your parents. And the other one has said, well, no one ever told you this, but you're really adopted. So the question was, number one, on the one hand, this person has a chazaka of being Jewish. They were raised Jewish. Their purported parents are Jewish, went to Jewish schools, married by an Orthodox rabbi, living a Jewish lifestyle, traditional if not fully observant. So there's a strong chazaka that the person's Jewish. And then you have this other reyesa now that's created by this genetic sample together with the representation of this long-lost relative that maybe this person was adopted. That, yeah, your parents couldn't have children for a while, so they adopted you. So there's no chance that there was a gayer stem. So how do you deal with that, the clashing values of a chazaka, a person has muchlakas of their status, and how strong is a reyes against a chazaka? So we haven't resolved that. But a very similar shayla came up in the Beit Din Rabbani in Ashkelon, of the Herkeva Dayanim, I'm not really familiar with. The Abbezin is the Rabbi Meir Kahano. It's a different person than the one of the same name that we were familiar with. Apparently is a graduate of Eretz Chemda. So the story was as follows. There was a woman who appeared in front of the Beis Din, who was born in the former Soviet Union in one of the Bukharian areas in 1985 and made Aliyah with her family to Israel in 1994. Now, this woman's parents were married in the 1950s, and her, this woman's grandparents were married in the 1950s, and her mother was born in 1964. All the documentation from Russia, Russian passports have religion. So her passport said Jewish, and her mother's passport said Jewish, and her grandmother's passport said Jewish. All fine and dandy. However, something caught the Bezdin's attention, and they thought it was a little bit noteworthy that this the mother, who was born in the 1960s, was born after her parents had been married for 11 years without any children. So for some reason, that caused them to be a little bit suspicious as to whether this was indeed the natural born child of the of these parents, or perhaps adopted. And then they did a little bit further investigation. So they asked this woman if there were any relatives in Eretz Yisrael back from the old country. And the woman said, no, her father, the father of this woman was not Jewish. That everyone knew from the beginning. The mother had a Jewish passport, Jewish identity, made Aliyah as a Jew. So they asked, are there any relatives in Israel? So she said, no, there are relatives on the father's side, not from the mother's side. Okay. But then they still were a little bit suspicious. And for some reason, they said, go do a DNA test. And then apparently this woman didn't want to do a DNA test. And then they did a little bit more investigation and discovered that the woman actually did have relatives on the maternal side in Israel. So they thought that was suspicious and she tried to hide something. And then they called one of these relatives and the relative said, yeah, oh, this person was adopted because their parents couldn't have children for a while and they adopted her. So similar kind of questionnaire. On the one hand, this woman was muhzekes, is Jewish all her life. No one had any contrary information or reason to believe otherwise. And they asked the family to bring pictures. So they brought a lot of family pictures. And this woman seemed to resemble her parents. And everyone looked like they were members of the same happy family. They noticed a facial resemblance between this mother and her mother. On the other hand, they were concerned. Number one, they called this relative who said that this woman was adopted. Number two, in the birth certificate, they noticed that the grandmother and the granddaughter's birth certificates are both written in Georgian, and the mother's birth certificate was written in Russian. So somehow they thought that was suspicious. I'm not exactly sure why. Three dayanim here, three opinions. One dayan thought it was suspicious. The other dayan didn't think it was suspicious. I don't know enough to say. And then the other thing that concerned them was that there was a two-month lag between the birth of the mother and the issuance of the birth certificate. And the standard was that there wasn't such a lag back in the former Soviet Union at the time. And they thought that this woman was trying to hide something because she didn't disclose that there were other relatives in Israel. And there were other relatives. So they raised a number of questions as to how do we deal with this clash between, on the one hand, Chazaka said she's Jewish. On the other hand, some incriminating information that perhaps points to the fact that she is not Jewish. So let's just segue briefly to talk about what the default position is about believing someone about their Jewishness. We discussed this, I think, a while ago, years ago, in one shiur in this series, but we'll just chazer some Rashi Prakim. So the Gemara says in Kedushin, in the context of Kahuna, in the context of Mamzeres, but it's a more generally applicable principle. And that's what you have in Kedushin Ayin Vav. There's a presumption of kashrus for any Jew absent any reyesa. Now the Beis Shmuel quotes a Rama that the Torah quotes. Simon Beis have an answer, Sifkat and Gimel. Misha Emishbach, you do a lanu. Lor Minashu Bechaskas kashrus. If we don't know anything about the family, so you don't automatically assume the cheskas kashrus, If we know nothing, then we don't necessarily take everything at face value. We'll come back to that. And Tosus's position, both in Sachem and Daf Gimel Amid Beis and in Yevamos Daf Mem Zayin Amid Aleph, is that a person comes forward and says that they're Jewish, absent a raya, so we believe them to say they're Jewish. The Tosus and Racholeg as to whether you have a raya from the Gemara in the beginning of Sachem of that non-Jew that came and bragged to Rebbe Yehuda Seira that he was eating from the Korban Pesach. So why do they allow him to eat from the Korban Pesach? Why don't they ask to see his ID? So Tosim Sachem says, give him a Bezir Maskel Va'ana, Mikan Ein Raya Shinam in L'chol Abel Afanenim Am Yisrael. You can't necessarily prove from the Maisa of the Naku that came to eat the Korban Pesach that anyone who claims he's Jewish is believed. Because Shani Hachad, the Rav Yisrael Hayu, Vaslina Vassar Rav, there you have a Rav. There's a row of people in Yerushalayim bring the Korban Pesach that were Jewish. But you can't necessarily prove in a vacuum in any other situation someone's believed off the street to say that they are Jewish. But he says you could bring a raya for the Gemara in Yevamos Memhei. In the case of Rav, who said to one person of whose father was not Jewish, his father was Jewish, he was having trouble finding a shidduch, still go Yonasa Bas Minach, either go somewhere they won't know you, or marry someone of similar lineage. So he said, go somewhere they won't know you. Apparently, they won't ask you if you're Jewish or not. They'll believe you. And they won't ask about your yuchsin, and you'll be fine. Tosus in Yevamos, Memzayin Amanal, your masculine Muksak, thinks that there is a right for the Gemara in Sachim, because over there, in essence, every time you have a rov, the rov of anyone that comes and tells you that they're Jewish are Jews. So there's nothing unique about Yerushalayim in the time of Korban Pesach. There's always a row of people coming to identify as Jewish who are Jewish. But if you have a reyesa or the person is muchzak as a nachri, so then that's the Gemara in Yevamos Mevamos Zayin that you're not allowed to say niskayarti bein lebein atzmi. If you know that a person was not Jewish, then he comes and says I was megayer, you can't believe him absent a rei. So that's what we assume, that in principle, if a person comes and says that he's Jewish, they have a muchzak, they have believability. If we don't have reason to suspect otherwise, meaning the person is not, if it's someone that's Muslim because of the Nachri, then he's not believed to say it was Megayer. If a person comes in off the street, we don't know one way or another, he says he's Jewish, we have the right to rely on his self-representation. However, the Ritva says, Yivamas from Zayin and Manal, Adir Maskel Dein Ba'aretz Dein B'chutz La'aretz. Kol Shabbat V'Amr Yisrael, Ani Yoger, Ani Neman, V'Sam Chumala V'chol Davar, why? The milsa davide legluyehi v'lo meshaker. That that's something, the truth is going to come out. If a person comes and says that he's Jewish and he's lying, we're going to find out that that nachri in Yerushalayim, his lie caught up with him. So it's a milsa davide legluyehi, so a person's not going to lie about a milsa davide legluyehi, something that's going to be verifiable. V'lo meshaker, not going to lie about it. V'chein ma'isim b'chol yom, that's what the Ritva says. So, some say, or there may be situations where it's not a milsa davide legluyehi. We're not going to find out the information, so then maybe the presumption doesn't hold. On top of that, there's a bar hetiv in the beginning of Ebn Ezer, Simon Beis of Katan Dalid, quotes this Rama that we started with, and then he quotes a Takanas Medinas Lita, Takana in Lithuania, She'ein Lesadir Shum Kedushin Elam Kain, She'esh Lo Raya Shu Yisrael, Umi Eza Mishbacha. That if you have someone coming from out of the country, someone that we don't know about previously, not part of your kahila. So even though in principle a person is believed to come in off the street and say that I'm Jewish, but there's a takana medinas lita not to believe them without a raya. That's generally practice of batei din, definitely in Eretz Yisrael, here as well to some extent. That if we don't know something about anything about someone's background, they come in off the street. So the news this week, right? So you don't believe someone to say that they're Jewish, you have to do some investigation. The Ikara Din, they're believable. The Ikara Din, we believe them. But if someone comes in, we don't know their background, they come from another country, they're Bali Tshuva, then you have to do an investigation, the Inyan Yuchsin, before allowing someone to marry freely. There's this famous comment of Rav Chaim Volozhin of Chunam HaSholash, that the Chazon Ish quotes, that when do we say that if someone comes and says they're Jewish, they're believed, that's that they speak Yiddish. But if the person doesn't speak Yiddish, how could they be Jewish? That's what Chaim Volozhin writes in the Chunam HaSholash. The Chazon Ish already writes And Chaim Volozhin is writing Volozhin in the early 1800s. Kathanish is writing Bnei Brak in the 1950s, 1940s. That's not true anymore. Now there are plenty of fine Jews that don't speak Yiddish. So that's not necessarily dispositive. Okay. In this psak from Rabbi Meir Kahana, he quotes the sefer of Rabbi Farbstein, the Chavrin of Rosh Hashiva, who writes that he heard from Avil Yashiv that even if it's true that on an individual level, person has believability to claim that they're Jewish. Nevertheless, when we deal, that's on a individual level. But if you're dealing with Batei Din have the responsibility to do a Bira to the extent that it's possible for them to do it. So that's a different level of responsibility than just an individual. And Rav Avadia, Chelek Zayin, Yabia Omer, Evan Ezra, Simon Aleph, Chelek Zayin, Evan Ezra, Simon Aleph, footnote 6 in the new edition with additional the footnotes, the new printing. So he also writes over there that nowadays people say they're Jewish, but Jewish means different things to different people. It'll be foreign patrilineal descent. So even if someone is being honest and saying that they're Jewish, but they may have a different definition of what Jewish means. So you have to do that kind of a beer. So that's the Hagdama as far as how we operate. So in practice, if someone comes in from another country, someone we don't know their background, their Bali Tshuva, we don't know enough. So then you have to do an investigation to determine their Jewishness. So Rabbi Kahana deals with the following on the level of chazaka. So over here, this person was mochzak as Jewish. They grew up their whole life identifying as Jewish. They made Aliyah identifying as Jewish. They've been living in Israel for 25 years identifying as Jewish. There's definitely a chazaka. So what does it take to upend such a chazaka? So he discusses the sugya of whether an amasla is believed in a case of a woman who is maxika herself as a nida bishchunoseha. That's a sugya in Ksuvis. So the Ran Daf Tesam Beis B'Daf Be'Harif. Pam Achas Amrlo Ishto Kei V'Nasa Ma'asla Devareha U'Pirish Vimena Ad Shetavla. So a woman claimed that she was a Nida and acted as a Nida, and then she gave an Amasa, she gave an explanation as to why she said that even though she wasn't telling the truth. So that's where she had that conversation with her husband, Niu, im huksaka nida bishkeno saha. But if everyone in town knew that she was a nida, meaning at the time people wore big day nidas, they wore different clothing when they were nida. So if a woman goes out in public wearing big day nidas, so she's representing to the world that she's a nida. So huksaka nida bishkeno saha. So the Gemara there says that we treat her as a nida. And Balaloka Lamishim Nida, Afilin Asam Asla, even if she gives an explanation as to why she said that, Lomer Lolavashi Big Nida Salam Ne Kain, that no, there's a reason I did it, but it wasn't really a Nida. Ainan Amenas, given the Balaloka Alma Kanida, Nishavina, that the din is by Huxla Kanida Bishreino Saha, even if she gives an Amasla, once she's Huxlaka, that Chazaka is immutable. So you can't mess with the Chazaka. And that's what it sounds like in Shulchan Aruch. But the Taz there in Yerodea Kuf Behei quotes a Ramah Simon Beis. O Nira Divinidon Didana, Fila Ramban Moda, the Mahani led Nisina Samasla, Afa Gav the cost of Lo Mahani, Hainu Dafka Masa, the Mahani Gabi Tamani, Manishatoma Shalohaya Bakoach, Ashar Masa Skalu. Wouldn't go to the lengths of wearing bidei nidos if she wasn't really a nida, and simply saying an amasla that I was too tired, I didn't want to be with my husband, that's not enough of an amasla to upend the chazaka. Val, what's the Rama talking about? A case where the woman was worried about ayin hara, she had previous miscarriages, and now she's pregnant again. So she was worried about Ayin Hara, so she decided she's going to put on a show that she's a Nida, so that she won't be affected by an Ayin Hara. So that the Rabbah thinks that's a super masla. So there was no way of achieving that result without pretending to be an Ita. So there are cases where you can't upend a chazaka. So here, upending the chazaka is a kula, to say the woman who sucks the nida b'shkenasa is not really a nida. So you assume, same thing over here, same achlok is about upending a chazaka l'chumra. The woman is b'chzakas, is Jewish, and now we're going to say she's not Jewish. So is that totally on the same principles here? Can you upend a chazaka based on other information? The dissenting Dayan, Rabbi Shlomo Tzaror, tries to bring evidence that to upend a chazaka, you need actual edus. So simply hearsay or something that someone says in a non-formal edus context doesn't rise to the level that could upend a chazaka. One of the other topics they discuss here is what we started with, which is, in this particular situation, they produce family pictures that seem to indicate a strong family resemblance between the alleged adopted mother and her own mother. So we started with the Medrash in this week's Sedra that seems to indicate in one direction that you could have a situation where a child bears no resemblance to the parents, and yet, as far as halacha is concerned, we could still attribute the child to the parents. On the other side, we have the Medrash Tanchuma in last week's Sedra that Rashi references, that people were being ma'ara, that maybe Yitzchak was conceived from Avimelech and not from Avram Avinu. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu created a situation where there was a very strong resemblance between Yitzchak and Avram, that everyone would realize that Yitzchak was the son of Avram Avinu. So that may indicate an orientation towards positively identifying a child based on a resemblance to a parent. Shuvas Marsham, Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Samich Aleph. What was the Shaila? A man lives with a woman for 10 years, no children. After 5 years, no children, someone comes to visit the house, was there for a couple days, and suddenly she's pregnant. Then years later, this man comes back again to town, and very suspiciously, this woman is late coming home from Leil Tefillah, and then she gets pregnant again. And the husband suspects something, because there seems to be a pattern here. There's a discussion whether the husband had with Anashim, or whether he was here at Kachetz, okay. So the Marsham there raises this issue, Mashakasov. The representation was that this son looks like this other guy that they suspected as being the father of this kid. So he says, Hagam, that the Medrash and Parshas Toldos indicates that positive facial resemblance is an indication of paternity. But we can't paskin a shaila based on that, because we have the Medrash in our Sedra that says the opposite, by the Melech Kushi or the Ish Kushi and the Isha Kushis that have a white child. So there's no hachrei here, aside from the fact that this is a gadata, we can't necessarily paskin based on a gadata. So for that and other considerations, he says there isn't enough of any evidence to claim or to identify this child as being a mamzer. Shuvas Radvaz, Chela Gimel Simen Tafresh Lamed Dalid, Chela Gimel Simen Tafresh Lamed Dalid, addresses what was the Chachma Shlomo Melech in splitting the baby in half. So he says it wasn't splitting the baby in half, was just a dramatic way of expressing the fact that Shlomo Melech realized who the real mother was anyway. So he writes, Masha Nira Ali, Ki Amelech, Hikir Es Eim Hayele, Mikame Bechinos, Chada, Shehikir Parts of Hayele, Achai, Domala Parts of Aisha, Asher Tovas, Aso, who Parts of Hayele, Ames, Domala Parts of Aisha, Asher Biada, Hayele, Achai, that he saw. There was a resemblance between the dead child and the purported mother of the dead child and the live child and the mother of the live child. So that's what got Shlomo thinking, that he really realized it was the right mother. And then the rest of it was just for dramatic flair. So says Chuvas Haradvaz, Kela Gimel, Simen Tav Resh Lamed Aleph. That also points to the possibility of positively identifying based on a similar appearance. And finally, Chuvas Levushe Mordechai Winkler, the Rav of Mud, Talmud of the Ksav Sofer, Evan Ezra Kama, Simen Kaf, same kind of a Shaila, a son that looks like an imposter, a man other than his mother's husband, Arbi Choshesh for Manzeros. So he points out that we can't, it is true that there may be something to determinations based on facial resemblance. He quotes the same Medrash in Parshas Toldos. He quotes the opposite Midrashim. So he says, can't necessarily be Machriya. And it's possible, as we said, maybe there's a resemblance to this imposter because at the time of conception, maybe the mother was thinking about the imposter and not about her husband. That also, as we saw, could have an effect on the appearance of a child. So bottom line on this question, aside from the fact that it's really hard to know what's considered a resemblance and what's not a resemblance, especially these Dayanim and Neri Sassol talking about the Bukharians and Hulot Saiko. But the bottom line over here was that Rabbi Kahana was very skeptical and thought that you have to be choshesh that the kid is not Jewish, and he was very suspicious of many details over here. Dayan number two wasn't as suspicious, and he had an explanation for some of these communication issues and the lack of forthcomingness with the Bez, and he didn't think that was enough to upend the Chazaka. And die number three sided more or less with die number one, although he gave an out that if she does a DNA test and it comes back indicating common DNA with this aunt or the other relative who's still alive in Eretz Yisrael, then that would probably be dispositive. So in a 2-1 decision, this Herr Cave decided that they would not be masher the adut of this daughter of the purportedly adopted a mother, barring further genetic proof on the part of the mother.
So why do they force
them? They can't. No, they don't have. So there are different accounts here. One account was she didn't want it. The other account was that the aunt or the other relative wasn't prepared to do it. Like the two Dayanim had different fact patterns here.
And in your case,
well, no, for our case, this woman came to us because she did the DNA, right, which she never done in the first place. But
no.
Well, why should anyone, meaning you're all, anyone who does that is potentially opening up a can of worms. So, like, why would you want to do that?
What's her status?
This woman's status?